Thank you very much, Pastor, for the special message and song, as well as the opportunity to be able to preach behind this new pulpit that 30 years when I pastored never got one, but I guess what happens when you move up. But I am certainly thankful. I was thinking as Pastor was introducing me and thanking God for the heritage he's had and how proud he is of that. But he couldn't begin to be more proud than I am of the follower that I am able to follow today. Just a tremendous man of God that I respect spiritually. And he is the exact age now that I was when I started the church. And he's preached more times in his first 10 years than I preached in a lifetime. And Crossroads is just blessed to be able to have him as a pastor. Not just a great preacher. I think he's the greatest preacher I've ever heard. But he's a great pastor that loves people. And I sit here and I'm amazed at him. And I'm privileged to follow him. And I do follow his leadership spiritually. I think he's just a great man of God. And I certainly thank the Lord for the privilege to preach here, to stand behind his pulpit and be able to preach to you. I'm going to ask my wife to stand for a moment. Many of you have joined the church since in the last several years when Pastor has been here. Stay standing. At least be submissive in public. Okay, come on, stand for me. Those of you who've been around here for years, you know what I'm about to say. I mean, everything about Pastor Lou Baldwin and the Crossroads Baptist Church over the years, really, I have to attribute to Jeanette because she has made all the difference in the world to me, travel all over the world with me. And as a matter of fact, this last year, she traveled less than 1 year with me. And then she did the 34 years all put together. And I had to learn some things. I had to learn how to iron my shirt just before I get ready to preach. You have to take it out of the suitcase and take my clothes out and hang them up and all of those things, which I've never had to worry about. So I did such a lousy job at it, I just kind of curtailed my whole schedule back since she's not going to travel that much with me. But I thank God for her. You can't have a good ministry without a good wife, a good family. And I thank God for her and what she's meant to me over the years. And we look forward to serving here at Crossroads Baptist Church and serving under the leadership of Pastor Kenny. I thank the Lord for the family he's given me, and of course, the wonderful church. Many of you here have been here for a long, long time at Crossroads Baptist Church, and will help the future because this church will certainly reach a lot more people for Christ, and it's just a joy to be able to have a part in it. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. Thank you, choir, for the good music, and Nita for the great special song. And Pastor Kenny, just haven't heard that song in a long, long time. But what wonderful words, and thank you for loving me as a dad. And thank you for the good job that you're doing here with this church. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescent to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Our Father, we're thankful for this day that you've given us the privilege we have to come into a good local church and to be able to sing together, pray together, and worship Almighty God. We thank you for this place. We thank you for what you've done over the years. I thank you for the wonderful privilege to be able to see this church started and pastor these wonderful people for some 30 years. Thank you for what I've witnessed you've done the last several years, and the direction is going, and the growth, and all the people that have come, and the many souls that have been saved, and the lives that have been touched, and how we've been strengthened through the great preaching of the Word of God, and how you're building a church for Almighty God. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you for the privilege of this morning to be able to stand behind this pulpit where a great man of God stands each and every Sunday and Wednesday night and preaches the Word of God. I pray you'll take me as I have asked over the years. Take me, Father, and use me in a special way. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I want you to listen to me as I preach a little bit this morning and testify a little bit and think about Almighty God. I want to use a story here that's familiar to many of us. The Apostle Paul, without a doubt, I believe, is the greatest Christian in all of the Bible. We find this great man of God. He was a great missionary, a great church planter, a great preacher, a great pastor. So many wonderful things about this great man of God that we all admire and preachers admire and try to emulate in our lives. Here we find him, this great writer, this great preacher in 2 Timothy here. It is believed that he was in the second imprisonment of his life, very near to being martyred for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached the Word of God with boldness. He wasn't afraid because something happened to him on the Damascus Trail. He met Jesus Christ. He got saved. God called him to be a servant. He didn't wait 5 years or 10 years. Immediately, he said, "What would you have me to do?" And that moment, he began to serve Almighty God. And for that reason, for preaching and teaching the Word of God, proclaiming the glorious gospel, he's about to be martyred. He's about to be killed. He's in jail. He's in prison. And as he's there, once again, he begins to ponder. I guess I've never been in jail except for a few minutes when I got a speeding ticket years ago. So I don't know what that's like to sit in jail about ready to die. But I can imagine, Brother Austin can probably give testimony of this. I would imagine that you in jail, you have quite a bit of time to think. After all, you don't have a whole lot of places to go. So here was Paul in jail and pondering in his mind about some things. He must have gone back and he thought about his salvation and he thought about starting churches and he thought about all the things that had happened in his life. But one of the things we find from this particular passage that he began to ponder over, he thought about the men and women that had labored with him in the ministry. You see, Paul knew something that we need to understand. You don't build a great church without people. One man never builds a great church. It takes Almighty God as the chief shepherd, and the under shepherd follows the chief shepherd, and people, men, women, boys, and girls, follow a good leadership. So Paul here, unselfish, began to think about those people that had labored with him and worked with him. He's an old man now, about to die. He's not going to get out and preach anymore and teach anymore, start any more churches. All he can do right now is ponder on what he has done. Now, before you start looking at me, first of all, I'm not an old man. All right, I want to get that out of your mind. I hope that I'm not about to be martyred. Okay, if I'm about to die, I don't want to know about it. Don't tell me now. Not that I'm afraid to die. I know where I'm going. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I'm not in any hurry right now to get there. I've got a few good years left. And I certainly don't want my head cut off. All right? So let's get that out of your mind. But he's an old man about to die. About to lose his life for the simple reason that he had served Almighty God. And as he's thinking and pondering He thought about those people that had worked with him. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, chapter number 16, it mentions some 25 men and women that labored with the Apostle Paul. Three names that are mentioned often in Paul's writing several times are the names Demas, Mark, and Luke. Once again, during his last days. Now imagine this. The last days of a great man of God, he focuses on people that he loved. People that had worked with him. People that had labored with him. People that had served God with him. And as he focused on each of those particular names, especially these three, each name reminded him of a different kind of an experience. In other words, when he thought about Demas, it affected his heart in one way. When he thought about Mark, it affected his heart in another way. When he thought about Luke, it touched his heart in another way. You see, Paul began to realize something that every preacher who's preaching a length of time, and I've been doing it now for some 35 years, and I think a lot. I think when I'm flying. I think when I'm driving. And unfortunately, I think a lot when I'm trying to sleep. And when you, by the way, that's not a good time to do a whole lot of thinking. When you're thinking when you're trying to sleep, guess what happens? You don't get a whole lot of sleep. But that's one of the faults that I have. I focus on people. I focus on situations. I focus on names. I focus on what has happened. And here's Paul focusing on people. And he found something that all of us who've been at this for any length of time, sometimes the people who bring the most joy to your life turn out to be the people that bring the most sorrow. And I want you to think about Paul for just a few moments. And I want to preach a message entitled this morning, Three Kinds of Christians that I pastored for 30 years. And as you think about that, at the end of the message, I want you to have this thought in your mind. What kind am I going to be if the Lord tarries the next 30 years? One thing I can help you out. You will be like one of these men that I will mention. So nobody in here this morning, if you're a member of the Crossroads Baptist Church or any local church, you're going in the next, your service in the local church. I'm talking about people who've been saved, baptized, join a good local church, your attitude will be like Demas, Mark, or Luke, in whatever church you serve in. The question here, I know what people were like when I pastored in this day and age in which we live. This local church and every local church need men, women, boys, and girls that understand this is not an organization. It's an organism. There's a world out there that needs to be reached. And the God that we serve did not choose animals, did not choose angels. He chose men, women, boys, and girls who were shaped in iniquity, came in this world lost, saved by the grace of God, and now must serve. What kind of a Christian? What kind of a servant? What kind of a church member? What kind of a follower? What kind of a leader will you be in this local church under a new pastor, a new leader who preaches the Word of God? I want us to ponder on that here this morning. What kind of Christian, what kind of church member that your founder, pastor for 30 years? I'm so glad you asked. We're going to ponder on that. Let's look at this story this morning. Now, I gave them names, and you can call it whatever you want to. If you want to just say Demas and Mark and Luke, that's fine. I can preach on Demas's, I can preach on Mark's, I can preach on Luke's. But I gave them some names that just kind of fit me. I'll tell you what kind of Christian I believe that Mark was. Mark was the kind of Christian I call a renegade.
You said, Pastor, this great church under your great leadership had a bunch of renegades. I preached to more renegades than I did anything else. If that were not the case, you wouldn't have room for you. You would think after 30 years we had a lot more people saved and joined the church than here, and I will testify we did. But a bunch of them were renegades. Renegades. What made Mark a renegade? What kind of a Christian? I would never want to be a renegade. Well, let me explain to you what he was like. He's not what you thought he was. Look at what it says about Mark. Verse 9, do thy diligence to come. About Demas. Shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And departed to Thessalonica. Demas was a renegade. Now let me describe for you what a renegade in a church is like. Let me describe to you what a renegade is as a follower. Let me describe what a renegade is like as a servant. He starts out, or she starts out, in a very respectable position in the church. If we look back in Philemon 24 or Colossians 14, Paul mentions Demas' names in both of those passages. And here's what he says about Demas. Demas was the kind of person, when Paul was out there starting churches, was a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you talk about Jesus, you talk about his death, you talk about his resurrection, a Demas would put his hands in the air and says, yes, that's my Lord, that's my Savior, that's why I go to church. He was a worshiper of Christ. He was a worker in the church. When the church needed somebody, guess who was there? Demas. He walked consistently. You wanted somebody to model your testimony after? Look at Demas. Look at how he worships. Look at how he works. Look at how he walks. Oh, he tries to imitate Jesus. He witnessed courageously. If Demas had been around in our time, he would have been on Soul Winning Blitz yesterday. Before the donuts came. He would have been here just because we're trying to win people to Jesus. That's the kind of man Demas was. You said, Pastor, you have those kind of people in your church? Yes. I can list a whole list of people that used to work in the church, worship Christ, witness courageously, walk consistently, give testimonies, give money, do all the things that you would say, what a great Christian. And yes, some of them I put in positions. Some of them we gave titles. Some of them we testified about. Some of them we mentioned from the pulpit. But they were renegades. Your position here today doesn't guarantee you won't be a renegade this time next year. Maybe next month. So we see this respectable position he held. But notice secondly, this regretful problem he had. Demas, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me. Why, Paul? Having loved this present world. Here was the problem with Demas. It's not that he didn't love God. It's not that he didn't respect God. It's not that he didn't believe the Bible. But he had a problem. He couldn't turn loose the world. Oh, he could sing the songs and quote the Bible. But he couldn't turn loose the world. He just loved the world. There were things out there that he had to have. And those things became more important witnessing and working and worshiping and walking. He loved the world. Let me give you some 38 years of experience. If you love the world long enough, you'll leave the work. And you'll look for wealth spiritually somewhere else. You know why you have church hoppers? Because they love the world and try to find church that fits with the lifestyle. Our demons knocked on doors. And demons fell down and prayed. And demons witnessed. And demons did all of those things. But so do hundreds and thousands of men, women, boys and girls and good churches love the world so much they leave the work and look for wealth some other place. And the end result we read today of a man once in a respectable position had this resounding problem, and now he's got a ruined testimony. Pastor, you pastor those kind of people? Hundreds of them. Hundreds. The average independent Baptist church kept not a great percentage, just 10, 15, 20%. Of all the people who get saved, get baptized, join the church, worship in the church, witness, walk, and work, pews will be full. The problem is there are too many renegades. Demas was a renegade. Now let's look at the second one. You said, let's get off that one. The second one is kind of a little bit similar to him. Let's go back to our text. He said, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, Demas was a renegade. Mark I call a runaway. I mean, they're living alike early in their Christian life, in their Christian walk, in their Christian work. I mean, he also would have worshipped. He also would have walked. He also would have witnessed. He would have done all the things that Demas did. Hold your finger here. Look back in Acts chapter 13, 12 for just a moment. I want you to notice something about Demas. Not Demas, but Mark. Now, runaway, and I pastored a lot of runaways in 30 years. And I don't know of any pastor who's pastored 30 years that didn't have some runaways. The renegades are bad enough, but then you got to deal with the runaways. Now, notice a runaway in a local church starts out in a church resourceful. Worth something. Either a teacher, either a good giver, or even somebody that does something in the church, maybe a deacon, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a choir member, maybe in some kind of leadership, but is very resourceful for the local church. That's what Mark was like. We find here in Acts chapter number 12. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, it says some things about this man, Mark. And when he had considered the things, this is Peter after he'd gotten out of prison, here, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, notice this, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Here's Mark. Mark was so resourceful, he says, Peter's in jail. The Jews are looking for him. I got him in jail and looking for those who are worshiping Christ. He says, why don't you come over to my mother's house and we'll have a prayer meeting there. He used his house for prayer meeting, even when it was dangerous doing that. Look in the same chapter to verse number 25. Notice this. And this was a great honor. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. He was not only a man who used his house for prayer meeting, but we find John Mark on the very first missionary journey that the Apostle Paul took. Guess who they took with them? Mark. What an honor! I mean, the missionary work's beginning. Well, this great man of God is going to go out, plant churches. And of all the servants, the personal secretary, and the one they chose was a man by the name of Mark. Went on the first missionary journey. Now go over to Acts chapter 15, just a few chapters over. And notice verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder and from the other, one from the other, and Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Here he was, at the beginning, so resourceful, used my house for prayer meeting. I'll go on the missionary journey with you. And then he came to a point in his life where he became rebellious. You see, it was okay to start out in prayer meeting and when it was easy. And the first journey didn't have to do a whole lot. But when you went to the second time, it was going to cost him a little bit more. So what did he do? He rebelled. And ran away and went back to mama's house. I pastored some runaways. Oh, they loved the choir singing. And loved being a choir member. And loved being a part of Crossroads Baptist Church. Until that loudmouth preacher got up there and all of a sudden he started preaching on sacrifice. Stop telling you, you're not even a good Christian unless you go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. You ought to be a tither. You ought to love God. You ought to have some standards. You ought to separate yourself from the world. You ought to be sold out to God. And then he starts saying, they expect too much of that church. That Crossroads Baptist Church doesn't want you to have any fun. Next thing they know, they'd be telling me I can't watch television and can't go to the movies and can't do this and can't wear your hair long and can't do others. And, you know, I don't know about that. They expect too much out of me. I'm going to go to a place where I can worship Jesus just the way I want to. And, I'm not going back to that place, you know. Same ones out in the choir are just waving a hand, just hallelujah, until we find out Christianity is going to cost me something. And then all of a sudden we start finding fault with the church. And what do? We just run away. We're going to find something that fits my style. Forget about, what about all that time when you had that prayer meeting? What about that time when you went to the mission field hoping you'd be called to be a missionary? But when things got a little tough, you ran away. So, Pastor, you pastor some runaway? Whole lot of them. Whole lot of them. Whole bunch of them. Oh, if I had all the runaways, oh my goodness. We had all the runaways and just got them doing a little bit for God. We'd be the largest church in Northern Virginia. Don't you expect too much? And we run away. You know the sad thing? What's so sad about renegades and runaways? You see them later on sometimes. They're still running away. They're still a renegade. They find out that the next church they go to, they got some of the, if they're following the Bible, they got some of the same requirements. Renegades usually just keep going. Just keep going because they never turn loose to the world. Let's go back to Titus in our text. Because John Mark not only show us how to be resourceful and show us rebellion, but the thing that I like about John Mark is he shows us there's restoration. And I'm glad. Is that pastor that ever run away, keep running? No, I thank God that I can look around this place today and there's some men and women and young people that were resourceful in the ministry, rebellion, and ran away. But today, they're restored, serving God once again. Notice what this old man said before he died. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, only Luke, verse 11, is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. And I like this phrase, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul, you said back there in Acts chapter 15, you're going to take Titus. You didn't want Mark because Mark ran away. But today, he says, bring Mark. Profitable. He's profitable for me. For me, for the ministry. It's a beautiful picture that I thank God over those 30 years I saw runaways restored. They came to the point where they realized, you know what I had at the beginning? It was real. And I've run out there and I've been there and I see the world has nothing to offer. And they come back, they repent. And they recognized I was wrong, got things right, and served God even better the second time around. You know why? The God that we serve is a God of second chances. And I've got, there's some runaways that started out with me, resourceful, and came back and got restored. And not only did they serve while I was pastoring, but they're serving God today in such a great way. Why? He's the God of second chances. The sad thing is that churches have renegades and runaways, but the great thing is runaways come back. They repent. And they are returned and they're received in the local church. And by the way, they don't wear X's on their back saying I was a runaway. They come back and they serve God Almighty. Why? Because God is a God of second chances. And then there's one more. He said in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Can you imagine? All the companions. And by the way, everybody that wasn't with Paul was not because they were renegade or ran away. There were some doing some other things. But Luke, a man's about to be have his head cut off. And Paul, in his last days, in his lonely times, thought about all of those people that looked over and said, only Luke's with me. Luke was never a renegade, never ran away. He's what God wants, what every pastor. He was just reliable. He said, you know what? This salvation that God gave me and this local church that God put me in, I'm here to the end. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to give my best. I'm going to understand it's God's place. He never said it was going to be easy. But he was reliable. Back in Acts chapter 16, look there quickly for a moment. I want to show you something. This has always touched me. I preached this passage probably 30 some years ago before I ever started the church. But I want you to notice, Luke is the writer of the book of Acts, the Gospel of Luke. I want you to notice as he's writing this story about the Apostle Paul and the missionary journey when he went to Macedonia, heard the Macedonian call. Verse number 7. And they were come to Mysia. And I want you to look at the pronoun is used here. After they were come to Mysia. So he's writing what took place. Then he says, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered or allowed them not. And they, passing by Mysia, that's Paul and those who were working with them, and Luke is writing, came down the Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Luke said, I was writing this. Here I wrote down, they heard this call. And the Macedonian was saying, come over, come over, come over, come over and help us. Paul, we need what you have. And he recorded that. And he heard that. Verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, notice how it changes. Immediately, not they, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called not them, us, for to preach the gospel unto them. Yes, Paul had a vision. But I saw that vision, and all of a sudden I realized it wasn't just for Paul to go. The Lord had commanded all of us to go. And Luke said, we, he called us. And what I like about Luke, he started strong right here. I mean, he started strong right here and said, you know what? God has called me to give my life to serve. And that vision that he got a hold of, he understood it was commanded by God and the calling was upon his life. And he linked up with Paul and says, I'm in it till the end. I'm in it till the end. I got my calling here, and I'm going to stick with it. Fast forward to Acts chapter 27. Times have passed. It's one thing to go into Macedonia when you hear the calling. But now Paul's on a ship, headed to the place where he's going to be beheaded. Now, if you timid and you afraid and you're not in it for the long haul, you need to get off before you get on this ship. But I want you to notice what Luke did. Verse number 1. And when it was determined that we should sail, and all down here, verse 3, the last few words, being with us, we sail. We have sailed. Put us therein. All through this chapter. You get to verse number 20, chapter number 28. After that, we find that the ship has broken up and they're on an island now. Verse number 2. And the barbarians, people, show us. Not only in Acts chapter 16 did he start strong, but he stayed during the storm. He said, let me tell you something. There are going to be good times and bad times. But this Jesus and this work and this local church business is something you start strong. And if you really believe it's of God, you stay during the storms. And just about the time he was going to be beheaded, he said, only Luke is with me. You know what I like about 30 years of pastoring? Renegades, if you think about them long enough, will discourage you. If I thought about every renegade that's been a member of the Crossroads Baptist Church, I'd never get any sleep. If I thought about all the runaways, all runaways don't come back. Thank God that you can think on those that do come back. But if all I thought about were runaways, and even if I thought about the ones who came back, that bring joy to my heart. Well, I'll tell you what moves me. And I'll tell you what stirs me. When I look back in the banquet room, I can look around here and find somebody was there. When I look across the street where we had to move our desk and operate in an office building, I can look around and see people here that were there. When we first had to buy this little building up the street, when we had to raise $83,000, when we only had 20 adults and 20 children, I can look around and see some people that are here. When we're building this building and heard the county that says there's no way we're going to ever prove that, I can look around here and find people that were still there. We built that building across the street. I can look and find some of those people were there. Some people that started 33 years ago that are still steadfast. 25 years ago, still steadfast. 20 years ago, still steadfast. 15 years ago, still steadfast. 10 years ago, still steadfast. 5 years ago, still steadfast. 1 year ago, still steadfast. You know what I like? In every local church, you're going to always have some steadfast Christians will start strong, stay during your storms, and be steadfast all the way. You know why? They're not doing it for you. They're doing it for Almighty God. The size of the building, the boisterous winds, the difficult times of society doesn't change them because of the God that they serve. And I'll tell you, when I'm flying in the air, when I'm driving, as I'll do tomorrow, and I started thinking, I think back. I don't ponder on the renegades. I don't ponder on the runaways. I ponder on those who are steadfast. Because Crossroads Baptist Church would not be where it is today and will not continue no matter who leads it unless there's some steadfast Christians who are there. They start strong. They stay during the storms, and they're just steadfast all the way. We've got people in this church who prayed from some other part in the world just to get here. Came here, stayed here. We've had people come in the military who've been shifted around every few years, came here and prayed that they never get rotated. And when they got ready to rotate them, they just got out. They just stayed with it. That's what makes a good old-fashioned local New Testament church. I thank God for the privilege of pastoring a church for 30 years. And I look forward to what he's going to do the next 30 years under our new pastor that he's given us. We will always have renegades. You'll always have runaways. And you'll always have steadfast. What we need to do is try to get some of the renegades and the runaways just to become reliable. Just say, you know what? I'm going to give it my very best. I'm here for the long haul. I'm a part of something that God has established for his glory. Now, I've pastored renegades. I've pastored runaways. And I've pastored reliable Christians. The question is not who I've pastored. I don't do that anymore. I'm a pastor emeritus. You know what that means? I don't have to get up on Sunday mornings and worry about who's going to run away today. What renegade I'm going to be. That's his job. That's his job. I don't have to worry about that anymore. So if the question doesn't matter how many renegades I had, how many runaways I had, or even how many reliable. All my reliables, they're still reliable today. You got to deal with the renegades and the runaways and get his reliables here. After all, he only got 2.5 years worth, right? So I got 30 years old. So he got to get them all seasoned. The question for you as a member of the Crossroads Baptist Church today, when Pastor Kenny gets a little older in the ministry and starts thinking about you, will he remember what a renegade you became? Will he remember the time that you ran away? Or he remembered the time that you got saved and baptized and start serving. And now at this phase of his ministry, you've started strong, stayed during the storm, and now he can put a smile on his face and said, what a reliable young man, young lady, teenager, that's a part of the Crossroads Baptist Church. What kind of a Christian will you be in Crossroads Baptist Church next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Will you be labeled a renegade, a runaway? Or will you be labeled just old-fashioned, reliable? If it's good enough to get me to heaven, then is it good enough for me to shine for Jesus in his local church while I'm here on earth? Let's bow our heads in prayer.